Sometimes I think that we have the idea that Lent is like this kind of mopey time, that repentance is slow or weak, I don't know, meandering. But the first Sunday in Lent is like, it's like a war machine. Every year we hear about Jesus going straight at the devil, and he don't care. He's going to win. It is a powerful thing, a mind-boggling thing. And that as Christianity in the West sort of limp-wristedly hobbles along, wondering what shall become of us, I wonder how much of that is that we've forgotten. Not only that we're at war, but that we have a valiant champion leading the way. He can't be defeated. And we won't have time this morning for a full sermon on that, but it is something to take with you. Lent is not about meagerness. It is acknowledging our Lord's meagerness, the 40 days that he fasted, that he went without food, and so we also perhaps will fast, perhaps not. But what we should be doing is fasting from our own mindset and turning our attention to the word of the Lord in the knowledge that it is the power to defeat the world, that it is the sword of the Holy Spirit in our hand, and that that armor of God, the breastplate of Christ's righteousness, the shield of faith in him, this is not something for us to cower with. It's something for us to stand firm with. In just 3 minutes here, I want to call your attention to the marvelous way the Old Testament reading connects to and completes what we're even doing today in learning liturgy. You hear about Moses telling the people that once they've been brought into the promised land, flowing with milk and honey, they're not free to just do whatever they want. They're to live a liturgical life. They're to live a life in which there is a public service of the Word of God that exists for their sake to strengthen and sustain their faith. And in that, there are specific things they are to do and they are to say. And there's this rather extended reading. You're supposed to take your first fruits, put them in a basket, give it to the priest, and the priest has a very small line, and then you have to speak a paragraph. You have to have that memorized. You can't just wander in and not know what it is. You had to actually say that. My father was a wandering Aramean. We became a great nation. We cried all the way down. That is, in many ways, their version of the Apostles' Creed. Now, it doesn't confess the Trinity the way ours does, but it does very much confess the same reality in a shadow. One of the keys to understanding the Old Testament is to see that it is all the story of Jesus behind a shadow. And so you kind of have to peer through that shadow to see it. And it's most clear in verse 9. Verse 8. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Now, of course, that is first about the pillar of fire and cloud that sent 10 plagues upon Egypt and drew the people out across the Red Sea, crushing Pharaoh and his army in that flood. But it's also about the bringing of God's people out of the Egyptian slavery of sin and death, with an outstretched arm pierced and nailed to a cross, sky covered in darkness, and then breaking through the raging flood of death itself, coming out 3 days later. So that now, through water, through baptism, you have that same promise, that same mighty wonder. It calls it great deeds of terror, signs and wonders. I mean, what was the cross but a great deed of terror? So, like a foreshadow, right? The whole people had to be brought out of slavery, and it took God doing it in a very magnificent way. So also then, the real slavery of sin and death is what Christ has come to save us from, and it needed to be done in a, again, glorious and even terrifying way. The whole Old Testament works this way. We're not going to go much deeper than that now. But keep that in mind then. The warfare which took place at the cross is the fulfillment of every battle God ever fought throughout the entire Bible, throughout our entire history. And at that moment, Satan, who had up to this moment full control of humanity, full authority over us, had the crown ripped off his head and himself cast down. So that now he is but a fallen angel. He still runs around with some authority over the nations where they're deceived, but these very words, that Christ is risen from the dead and you are baptized into him, they are his undoing. And they remain so, not only in Lent, but in all eras and all times. In the name of Jesus, amen.